She drifted to a stop about 2 yards from them, her bare feet a few inches above the grass. For a long moment she gazed upon them. Crispin felt that he should speak to her, but he could not. Although the boy only half rose, Harley stood on all fours. Clearly the dog saw the woman too. His tail wagged. When she moved past them, Crispin caught the scent of perfumed ointment. Harley sniffed with what seemed to be pleasure. The woman evaporated as if she were a fog phantom encountering a warm current of air. Crispin first thought she must be a ghost haunting these fields of graves. Later, he wondered if he'd witnessed instead a visitation, the spirit of St. Mary Salome, for whom the cemetery was named. Over the past 3 years, since he was 9, the boy has lived in this city by his wits and by his daring. He has enjoyed little human companionship or charity. He doesn't spend every night in the cemetery. He sleeps in many places to avoid following a routine that might leave him vulnerable to discovery. In places more ordinary than cemeteries, he and the dog often see extraordinary things. Not all their discoveries are supernatural. Most are as real as sunlight and starlight, and some of those things are more terrible than any ghost or goblin could be. This city, perhaps any city, is a place of secrets and enigmas. Roaming alone with your dog in realms that others seldom visit, you will glimpse disturbing phenomena and strange presences that suggest the world has dimensions that reason alone cannot explain. The boy is sometimes afraid, but never the dog. Neither of them is ever lonely. They are family to each other, but more than family. They are each other's salvation, each a lamp by which the other finds his way. Harley was abandoned to the streets. No one but the boy loves this mixed-breed canine, which appears to be half golden retriever and half mystery mutt. Crispin was not abandoned. He escaped. And he is hunted. 2. 3 years earlier. Crispin, only 9 years old, is 2 days on the run, having fled a scene of intolerable horror on a night in late September. He has no one to whom he can turn. Those who should be trustworthy have already proven to be evil, and to be intent on his destruction. Of the $11 in his possession when he escaped, he now has only 4. He has spent the rest on food and drink purchased from vendors with street-corner carts. The previous night he slept in a nest of shrubbery in Statler Park, too exhausted to be fully wakened, even by the occasional sirens of passing police cars, or, near dawn, by the racket of sanitation workers emptying park trash cans into their truck. On Monday, he spends a couple of the daylight hours visiting the library. The stacks are a maze in which he can hide. He is too much in the grip of fear and grief to be able to read. Now and then he pages through big glossy travel books, studying the photos, but he has no way of getting to those far, safe places. The children's picture books that once amused him no longer seem at all funny. For a while he walks along the banks of the river, watching a few fishermen. The water is gray under a blue sky, and the men seem gray too, sad and listless. The fish are not biting. Most of the day he wanders alleyways where he thinks he is less likely to encounter those who are surely looking for him. Behind a restaurant, a kitchen worker asks why he isn't in school. No good lie occurs to him, and he runs from her. The day is mild, as was the previous day and night, but suddenly it grows cool, and then cooler in the late afternoon. He is wearing a short-sleeved shirt, and the goose flesh on his bare arms may or may not be caused by the chilly air. In a vacant lot between a drugstore and a martial arts dojo, a Goodwill Industries collection bin overflows with used clothing and other items. Rummaging among those donations, Crispin finds a gray wool sweater that fits him. He takes also a dark blue knitted toboggan cap. He pulls it low over his forehead, over the tops of his